always, a time for family, celebration, and of course, bad Christmas music.
Come ye to Bethlehem.
Okay, it's not all bad, I'm not trying to be the Grinch here, but when I hear stuff like this background song everywhere I go between Thanksgiving and Christmas, it gets a little annoying, especially when there's so much good music out there in the world. Why play the same generic, boring versions of the same Christmas carols over and over again every year? So on the next two episodes of the Music Post, we're going to be hearing some of the good stuff. Some stuff that maybe you've never heard before on the piano. Though, as we often do, we'll contrast it with some of the not-so-good stuff. And of course, we'll learn as we go along. Stay with me. The story behind my idea for today's episode starts a little while ago with one of my piano students. Now, this student can be a frustrating one. I think even he'll agree if he happens to be listening, though he has lots of talent, a great ear, and he comes in from time to time with pieces that he wants to play, usually from YouTube clips he's heard. And we don't always see eye to eye on what's the best for him to play, or what indeed is just the best music. And he comes in with this version of Jingle Bells he found on the internet, which has, for me at least, the unfortunate combination of being both very difficult technically and just not very good. And I'll tell you more about that later. At this point, you might be saying, well, come on, it's Jingle Bells. I mean, how good can it get? It's just not the best song. But I'll show you today how the best pianists can breathe life into even the most generic of tunes and make them absolutely spectacular. And the piano is especially well suited to this task of taking something familiar, preserving its familiarity, but making it new as well. So I found for you today two really astonishing renditions of Jingle Bells on the piano from Gabriela Montero, who, if you listened last week, you know is my favorite, and Oscar Peterson, the legendary jazz pianist. Two versions that I was completely unaware of until just a couple of nights ago, and my search for these inspired me to start writing my own different version, and though it's basically just getting past the improvisational phase, we'll hear a couple of my ideas too. Okay, so let's listen to excerpts from these three different versions of Jingle Bells, from Johnny May on the piano, and then from the two masters, each of them, by the way, improvising. Each one is about a minute long, we'll listen to them, and then talk about each one in turn. God, I wish I had studied more ragtime, more jazz when I was a kid. Instead, I was just playing boring old classical all the time. So if I were to write a Jingle Bells piece, it might start something like this. You'll hear the Jingle Bells melody here. For something different later on. Here's another more adventurous harmonically variation on that idea. Probably stick the Dashing Through the Snow melody in there at some point. To bring back the original Jingle Bells melody with a variation here. And then in the top in the right hand. Stuff. These are rough new ideas. I haven't succeeded yet in putting them together very well, but I just wanted to give you a sense that this tune doesn't only work in a jazz style or rock or rag like we heard before. It can work in this classical style. It just requires a little more freedom to deviate, to put things together in different combinations because you don't have this same exciting rhythmic variation that maybe you get in these other styles. Anyway, onto this first version we heard from this pianist, Johnny May. To remind you, it's the one that started out this way. I guess this isn't the worst version of Jingle Bells. It's reasonably exciting, but it's pretty goofy, right? I mean, he hasn't done nearly enough for me to make this interesting. He's added this traditional ragtime or march bass, this bass, chord, chuck. And he's decorated the melody ever so slightly, but not enough to change its character. You know, at the beginning we're used to hearing this note held, and all he's done is just add these minor decorations. Not very creative. So that's the first thing. In addition, he calls this the Jingle Bell Rag, but to be a rag, it needs some syncopations in the melody, which it has very few of. This melody is all on the beat. Right? So I don't think it's a rag. And it doesn't bother me so much that he's gotten the name wrong. That's not important. He could call it an opera for all I care. But I think he needs some syncopations. This would have been probably better as a rag, a real rag, because otherwise it's too close to what we're used to hearing, too close to traditional Jingle Bells. And the last thing I want to complain about is this left hand. which, like I said, has this traditional. But once it gets going, it doesn't change from that nearly enough. We get these two brief moments of, which are a nice relief, but I crave a more linear aspect in the bass, which we could even get even within this, which I'm going to show you. So to highlight this, I'm going to play two ways. First, his way, maybe with, I might not get all the octaves right. I'm not playing from score. And then I'm just going to change it ever so slightly to give this bass line more line. And you'll see, it, I think it changes it quite a bit. Here's his version. And now mine with very small changes in the second half of that phrase. Is first of all add these, and then in the bass, which gives us something else to listen to, and also these harmony changes give us these two minor chords, which we had none of in his version. And then, which I think are a nice change. So that's that with this version. Not my favorite. And I also don't understand why he's playing on an electric piano. Also, is not helping his cause in this case. On to the version we heard from Gabriel Montero. It's honestly difficult for me to know where to start here. I mean, it's so different, so unbelievable, this piece, and not just because she's improvising. So let me get my one criticism out of the way so you don't think I'm going off the deep end here with adoration. For me, she plays it too fast, and the overall impression I get is a little rushed, to the extent that I even missed a couple of beats along the way. So I'm going to try to make it a little clearer what's going on. And I hope, if by some miracle you're out there, Miss Montero, listening to this podcast, you won't take issue with my dissecting this improvisation. So she's been known to say improvisations are very special for the fact that you hear them once, they're so spontaneous and unplanned, and then never again. And while I agree that's nice, I don't agree in that the fact that this piece is so good is enough to merit study and listening for me as a musician, so that I can hope to apply any tiny fraction of the lessons that it has to teach me, and for the listener to learn and appreciate the style more and the ingenuity. I mean, if this piece isn't worth studying and listening to again, then where does that leave that other guy, Johnny May? Not good for him. So let's get to it. Let me start by playing the right hand at the beginning so you can hear the basic outline of this Jingle Bells melody that you know so well, but with all kinds of decoration, and listen to how these syncopations, these accented notes not on the beats, make it really unpredictable rhythmically. And also all of these chromatic steps, these notes that pull us up to the note above. You'll hear a lot of and down here. And now the left hand, which like the Johnny May piece, starts out with this standard rag figure, but quickly changes. It's these interesting linear parts that I was missing in the Johnny May piece that really make it work for me, with these chromatic dissonances also that we heard in the right hand, both pulling up and pushing down together, and this interplay, this contrast between the more rhythmic and the linear one is really key. They complement each other really well. So here it is all together. Even something as simple there that you heard at the end of putting two bass notes together instead of always separated by a chord this way makes a big difference. Something as simple as what you heard at the end this way.
Bass.
Now, since I'm going to refer back to different parts of this Jingle Bells course, let me tell you very briefly about its structure. Don't worry, it's not complicated at all. It basically breaks down into two phrases, each of two parts. So first we have jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. The first part of the first half, we can call that 1A. And then next, of course, oh what fun it is to ride in a one-horsed open sleigh. That's 1B, and it ends on this chord that's the musical equivalent of a question. It requires closure, which then we get in part two. Part two starts out just like part one. 2A is the same as 1A. And then we finally get our closure in 2B. So now we're at part 1B of our Gabriela Matera's improvisation, the oh what fun it is to ride. And you'll hear all the things that I already talked about. And I want to call your attention just to one more aspect in the right hand, which is the way, even though there's, for the most part, just one note happening at any given time, there's really two or even three, four voices just within the right hand, hidden and trading back and forth. So here is the right hand. And here's how it splits up. We have a middle or a lower voice in the right hand. And a top voice. And then together. There's this dialogue between the two voices, and you never know when one is going to take over and when maybe it'll shift back to the other one, but they're each persisting through time and always picking up more or less where they left off. All together now. So there you have it, some of the basic elements that go into this piece. There's the unpredictable syncopations, the dissonances, the chromatic notes, and how there's these multiple voices in each hand. So enjoy them in the second half of the course here, part two, which intensifies on all levels, I think. And you'll hear especially really crunchy dissonances in the left hand in places like this. And then later. Last thing I want to mention is how she structured things here. Since at this point the Jingle Bells course is over, we've had this repeat with a variation, you know, where do we go from here? And the answer is we get this interim phrase, starts out a little lighter, but the tension is building, the anticipation, basically for the return of the chorus again, the second half. And I should say, we're coming back to the second half of this chorus phrase in the structural sense, but it's not an exact repeat. Just like before, every time it comes back, it's coming back with a different variation, more intense and more frenzied, and we'll hear that again at the end. What I played was a little reduction of that interim phrase. Here it is played out. Back to Jingle Bells, second half. I love this part so much. I have to slow down. It's really difficult and so unpredictable. The right hand is so crazy. Here it is. she throws in a fragment of Jingle Bells here too. Jingle Bells. And then the tension starts building again. One more time, we're going to come back to the Jingle Bells chorus, and I'll let Gabriela Montero do the honors of showing us how. So yeah, things get a little frantic there toward the end, but still brilliant. And by now, I hope you've learned quite a bit about this ragtime style and about how Gabriela Montero in particular spices this up. It's very different from what you heard from Oscar Peterson, a much smoother jazz version, heavily influenced by ragtime. And if I'm no expert in that style, I'm even less of one for jazz, not at all, I should say. So speaking from a vantage point of no authority, let me tell you what I really like about this playing, what sticks out to me. Like Gabriela Montero, we get multiple voices in the melody, but in a much more explicit way, often with two notes at the same time. So in places like this, which I really love. And the other part of that that sticks out and is very characteristic for Oscar Peterson is these quick groups of notes. I can play that one there, and you heard it earlier, usually in groups of three or four, all over the place. Like the previous version, there's also these chromatic leading up notes here, followed by another one of those little groups. And then there's also this running scale aspect, which I'm not going to attempt to play, but sticks out from the texture and gives us this alternative figure, which is really nice after that part, you know, something like that. I should point out, by the way, this is merely Oscar Peterson's solo part in a quintet track he's playing, as you can hear, with drums and upright bass, but also there's a guitar and a trumpet in there as well. There's not much more for me to say. It's truly delightful, all these subtle decorations he's added, and hearing me repeat them for you would be no substitute for hearing him do them again, so let's do that. Now let's hear one more time, since it's so short, to finish up the dense brilliance of Gabriela Montero. Thank you. Well, that's our episode for today. I hope you will see Jingle Bells in a new light and spurn these generic versions that we're all exposed to so often in our culture. As you go forth, may you seek out something different. And speaking of which, if you enjoyed any of my little Jingle Bells ideas, and if you need a last-minute Christmas gift for anyone, my album of original compositions is on iTunes and CD Baby. You can find it by searching my name, Sam Post. And it has some other Christmas tunes on it, so seasonally appropriate as well. I'll post those links as well as links to everything you heard today on the episode on the Music Post website as usual, www.samueljpost.com/podcast. I welcome your questions and comments to samueljpost@gmail.com or themusicpostpodcast@gmail.com. And we'll have another Christmas surprise next week on the Music Post. In the meantime, thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join me next time.